Jonathan Fevre. Before I share a few words and a few thoughts, I just wanted to speak in a general sense about the idea of having a Sichos Musar and the various opportunities that myself, the other Mashkichim, and the Rebbeim have to speak up in this Beis Medrash or Zeisman or anywhere else. First of all, obviously, the importance of learning Musar. I'm sure it's something that everyone here is cognizant of, spoken so beautifully about the Gra, and so many others as well. But more pointedly, just to convey that when a person gets up to speak in the Beis Medrash, it's not like speaking in an academic environment. It's not someone gets up to give like a drasha, I'll get up, I'll give like a vort. The person was in the Ravandas, it's like a good way of practicing their drasha a few days beforehand. But there's like a genuine sense of like passion for an idea, passion for ideas, passion for growth, and a tremendous, tremendous love for the Talmidim here in the Beis Medrash or in the entire yeshiva. And that's the way, like I would hope, that ideas are received. That there's like a passion for an idea given over to people who we collectively as yeshiva are passionate about. It's not just I'll get up and I'll say a vort. So with that, like divrei hakdama, I just want to share something that, an idea that has meant so much to me in my life, an idea that has allowed me to navigate areas of my own life. I'm sure something that many of you think about as well, and hopefully it's something that touches you in the same way. Some microphone issues. Okay. I can't do anything with that, Effie. Effie, you're okay now. We worked it out. Okay. For those who have interest in a certain type of, what's a certain type of Torah, but a certain type of like emotional resonance that is often found in the Torah, there's interaction in Parashas Vayigash that is so poignant, so provocative. And of course I speak about this moment after so many years where Yaakov and Yosef meet, and the Pasuk is so ambiguous of what is going on in the Pasuk. Of course, on purpose, the Pasuk is ambiguous to remind us of how ambiguous the feelings are. Vayeser Yosef mirkavto vayal likros Yisrael. Yosef went to go meet his father Yaakov, Goshna. Vayera ilav, he appeared to him. Vayipol tzavarav, he fell onto his neck. Vayevkal tzavaravod, and he continued to cry. And of course, the Rishonim and the Acharonim, they're all confounded by the following point. He appeared to him. He fell on his neck. He cried. We don't know who's doing what, who appeared to who. And Rashi says very famously that it was Yosef who was crying, and Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema. And that point has led to like an entire discussion in Halacha, why Kriya Shema at that point? Why was Yosef not saying Kriya Shema? Why can't you hug a person and cry while saying Kriya Shema? Like an entire halachic discussion about this issue, about Yosef crying and Yaakov saying Kriya Shema. And Rav Hirsch gives a certain psychological perspective, as he's wont to do, about this perspective of Rashi. And Rav Hirsch says that it was Yosef who was crying because Yaakov had been crying for decades already. Yaakov's life had stopped. Yaakov's life was suspended. A parent whose child is missing and perhaps presumed dead cries year after year, decade after decade. Rav Hirsch said that Yaakov had no more tears. His whole life had been crying until now. But Yosef, who had been vibrant and getting married and taking on positions and moving and living and going through everything Yosef did, it was only now that he stopped And it was only now the tears came. Yaakov had been crying until now. Yosef began to cry from this point. But the Ramban said a different point. Also psychologically oriented, but from the reverse. Yaakov said it was Yaakov who was crying. It wasn't Yosef. And the Ramban said, does it make more sense, and perhaps think about your own interactions with your own fathers or your own parents after not seeing each other for years, and you think about the psychological dynamics at play, does it make more sense that Yosef, the younger person with his whole life in front of him, he would be crying? Or does it make more sense that it would be Yaakov who's crying, the older person towards the end of his life, thinking back to all the regrets, thinking back to all the past pain? The Ramban said it wouldn't be Yosef, it would be Yaakov crying in that case. But perhaps to defend the Shita of Rashi, and to think about Rashi, why would it be Yosef who was crying, and at that moment, Yaakov thought that it was most appropriate to say Kriyat Shema, and that was his natural response to the situation, was to be mispalel and to say Kriyat Shema and to daven? Why conceptually would it be Yosef, according to Rashi, who was crying and Yaakov was davening? What was the nature? What was the essence? Why would Yaakov be the mispalel? So to answer that question, as all Jews are wont to do, you sort of think about a different question, a very famous question, that appears in next week's parasha, in Parashas Vayechi, a very, very famous Unkulos, and for those of you who have already finished Bava Basra and finished Yesh Nochalin, you know what the Gemara says in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, where Yaakov says, "Vani asati l'cha Shechem acha al-alchecha." I have given you, Yosef, Shechem al-alchecha, something that your brothers didn't have. Asher l'kachti miyad ha-amori b'charbi b'kashti, that I took from the Amori b'charbi with my sword, ubekashti, and with my bow and arrow. And the pashtus of the pasuk, of course, is that Yaakov said that I won the city, or I won Amori b'charbi b'kashti. But the Gemara in Bava Basra says it's impossible. That's literally speaking b'cherev ubekeshet. Rather, the Gemara says it's speaking about tefillah ubakasha. And this was made famous by the Unkelos. Bitzlosi ubebaosi, with my request, with my tefillah. And the question that the Meforishim deal with, and the most famous perspective on this issue, is the Meshech Chachma, is how do we conceptualize tefillah as request, and requests as charbi ukashti? Why is it that when the Torah says charbi ukashti, Chazal and Unkelis, immediately what they say is that Charbi Ukashti must be speaking about tefillah, must be speaking about prayer, must be speaking about the request that we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In what way do we conceptualize tefillah as Charbi Ukashti? Why are the two synonymous? And the Meshech Chachma, which we're not going to get into, has a discussion about different types of tefillah and the requisite kinds of kavana for each one of those tefillos. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful idea about what's charbi ukashti, what's tzlosi ubabaosi. But I always thought that to understand this idea that tefillah is charbi ukashti, I always thought of the necessary way of conceptualizing tefillah. A person can get up, we're going to daven Maariv in 9-10 minutes. People in this room daven presumably 3 times a day, 7 days a week, thousands of times in a person's life. A person can get up. I often daven at an early minyan in Shiners. And it's just incredible, the speed in which a person can lane through Shmona Esrei. The person can get up, they can like move a little bit, they can clap a little bit. They can conceptualize tefillah in a way as like asking God for something. The person can go their entire life without really having any sense of tefillah at all. You know, the real sense of tefillah is something that is discussed so beautifully in one place by Nefesh HaChayim, and even more so in the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. The language of Rabbeinu Yonah is so beautiful, I'm going to read it to you. So, b'inyan hamispalel, in regards to the issue of tefillah, tzarich sheyitein einav lamata v'liba lamala, person places their eyes down and their heart ascends upwards. Zeloshonim hakado sham klomar sheyachshuv v'liba ilu omei b'shamayim. Person has a literal feeling of transcendence. V'yaser milibo kol tanu geolam. Person sort of removes from himself the interests of this world. Kol hanos haguf, almost the realities of the body. Kinyan sha'amru ha-kadmonim, kishatirtza l'chave, when a person wants to have kavana, and these words I think about over and over and over again, pshot gufcha mi'al nishmascha. To almost be pshot gufcha, to remove the physical body, me'al nishmascha, from the soul. And if a person can stand in silence in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a sense of humility, they're not living in regrets of the past, they're not living with an obsession and an anxiety about the future, of what's going to be in this situation, and what's going to be with this girl that I'm dating, and a job that I'm waiting for, and this concern, and all those concerns are real. I'm not living in my mind, I'm not living in the self, but pshot gufcha mi'al nishmascha, I can just sort of sit and just let it all fade away. Just allow the essence of a person, sort of the soul of a person, to just feel totally connected with the shoresh of our lives, with the shoresh of that soul. And that's the essence of tefillah, to stand in Shmona Esrei, and not necessarily with words, and not necessarily with shuckling, but just pshot gufcha mi'al nishmascha. The blissfulness of those experiences, the simplicity of those experiences, the transcendence of those moments. It's like really the kol d'mama daka. It's like a HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming quietly to a person. That's like the charbi ukashti. When a person feels that, it's a feeling of like, that's my armor. And whatever life is going to bring me, and we've all been through a lot in our lives, or many of us have been through a lot in our lives, and you'll all go through a lot in your lives, I can promise you that. Whatever life brings me, my charbi, my kashti, my armor is saying that I'm okay in this moment. I'm peaceful in this moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put me exactly where I should be in this moment. And whatever life brings me, I feel not oblivious, but I stand behind that. I stand behind the Charbi Ukashti, and I march into life with that armor. I march into life with that quiet beauty and strength that comes with tefillah. Now, who would be experiencing that as Yaakov met Yosef? Yosef, the younger person, vibrant, busy, still perhaps in the prime of his life, perhaps maybe dependent on his own kochos, where Yaakov, the older person who had to come to the realization through everything in his life, that in that moment, the most genuine response would be Kriyat Shema. Like in that moment, almost like to place oneself in the middle of that Charei B'Kashti, to place oneself like in the middle of that place of Tefillah. Looking back on despair, looking back on loss, on frustrations, on regrets, of fears for the future moving to Mitzrayim. Yaakov had learned that a person descends beautifully and thoughtfully and meaningfully into the realm of Tefillah. When a person has that, they have like everything. Just that sense that I am exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be, and I can stand peacefully in the middle of my life. So I conclude with something I was thinking about just a few minutes ago when I was thinking about the words I would share. And I hope, by the way, that before I leave with that thought, I actually just heard a quote from someone today. And if you find it to be a little bit crude, so I apologize. The person said that one's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with God, is the relationship that one has with a gentleman, lahavdil. A gentleman doesn't come unless they're invited into the house, and he doesn't stay unless he's wanted in that place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only exists in theory unless he's invited into our space, into our Dalet Amos. If we can clear away all the noise, if we can stand simply and quietly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu only stays in our life, if we fight for that, if we invite him in, if we create a framework in our life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. So the thought I was thinking was that one of the most precious memories of parenthood, somehow the great gift of being a parent is that you forget all the torturous moments, not the torturous chas v'shalom, but you don't look back 25 years later and say, remember when I didn't sleep for 3 straight weeks and, you know, projectile vomit everywhere in the house. Like, you don't, like, that's not what you remember. You know, you remember sort of like these incredibly beautiful moments. So I remember when one of my children were young, and we were living here in Washington Heights on 186th Street, I came into the child's room at like 2 o'clock in the morning just to watch the child sleep. You know, big fat cheeks, like in a onesie, you know, just that beautiful scene, like sprawled out in the child's crib. And I would sit there like every night with my children, and I'll put my finger in the child's hand. And we would just sit there at 2 in the morning. And I would think about how the Baal HaTanya said that as close as the relationship is between a father and a child, and I can't describe to any of you the depth and the intensity of that closeness. Ultimately, the child leaves the parent. The entities become severed. They become disjointed and removed from each other. But the Baal HaTanya says that with a person in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Shemayim, that sense of Avinu Shemayim that never fades, there's always a oneness. The soul of man is always mitkasher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the same way that a child lying in their crib, whether they know it or not, and the parent feels this incredible sense of just oneness and safety and calm and beauty and joy. Like, our capacity to create that in our lives at whatever stage and whatever age and whatever place and wherever we are in life, that same sense of just almost coming home to a place of safety and simplicity and beauty and charbi ukashti that we experience in Tefillah. Mishim, all of us, again, in whatever journey of life, we can always create that space. We can always sink into those feelings. And we can always create the Chayar B'Yokashdi, the weapon, so to speak, of our lives as we travel roads, sometimes joyous, sometimes difficult, but with always the sense of connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that is the true gift of Tefillah. Thank you, everyone.